Acuérdate, Señor, de nosotros cuando llegues a tu reino.
Beatos los pobres de espíritu, porque de ellos es el reino de los cielos.
Beatos los mansos, porque ellos heredarán la tierra.
Beatos los que lloran, porque ellos serán consolados.
Beatos los hambrientos y sedientos de justicia, porque ellos serán saciados.
23 of February 2020, Matthew 5, 38 to 48. You have heard how it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I say this to you, offer no resistance to the wicked. On the contrary, if anyone hits you on the right cheek, offer him the other as well. If someone wishes to go law with you to get your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if everyone requires you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles with him. Give to anyone who asks you, and if anyone wants to borrow, do not turn away. You have heard how it was said, you will love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say this to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven, for he causes his sun to rise on the bad as well as the good, and sends down rain to fall on the upright and the wicked alike. For if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Do not even the tax collectors do as much? And if you save your greetings for your brothers, are you doing anything exceptional? Do not even the Gentiles do as much? You must therefore be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. There is hardly anything that challenges people more than these texts that are taken from the Sermon on the Mount. While an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth limited mentions, the word of the Sermon on the Mount goes into a dimension that seems unreachable for us human beings. How is the first part of the text to be understood? It is a command of the Lord that we should follow literally, or do we have to understand it more in the spirit? After all, there is always a danger that when we humans encounter something impossible, we try to relativize it so that it becomes acceptable to us. So how could Jesus have meant it? The whole paragraph leads into the word of the Lord. Be you therefore perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So we encounter the perfection of God in these sentences. When we look at them, and we can do so in our account with Jesus, then we see the implementation or application of the above words. Jesus comes to call the sinners, that is, those who are enemies of him. He does good to those who cannot give it back to him. He asks for forgiveness for his murderers, as Saint Stephen did later in his discipleship. He heals in Gethsemane the ear of the servant that Peter cut off. In the perfection of Jesus we encounter another quality of love, which we are not capable of from within ourselves. It is a divine love that wants to have mercy on us human beings, that converts the enemies, that makes the persecutors into proclaimers, that is ready to forgive men all wrongdoings, if only he sincerely wants to. We too can receive this love, because part of our transformation is that this love, powered into us by the Holy Spirit, makes us capable of acting ever more perfectly. If we now look at the text from this point, the text comes closer to us. Not every word has to be understood literally. For example, to go 2 miles if only one is requested. Or passages in the text are also to be understood in the spirit. For example, when it is said that it is better to tear out one of our eyes than to be tempted to sin. It becomes clear that the point here is to impose an inner compulsion on us not to let our eyes slide when they lead us into temptation. We are asked, however, whether we want to act according to the Lord's way in the situations that come upon us, seek His will, or only react naturally. Do we want to act according to the supernatural vision for our neighbor or not? This is why different situations ask for the response of our love. Through prayer and the growing indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us, we will be able to give the answers better and better. Of course, it is also possible that the right answer can mean the direct implementation of the word of Jesus. Loving the enemies certainly means that we should not close our hearts to them, because we too were enemies of God, and God did not close His heart to us. It was precisely this open heart of God that gave us the opportunity and gives us the opportunity to come to Him again and again. If we look at the parable of the prodigal son, then we look into the heart of God, because in the prodigal son is reflected the fate of the people who squander their inheritance. In this way, the Lord invites us to pray for our enemies and always leave the door of reconciliation open for them. Sometimes we are also asked to take a concrete step toward them, just as the Lord came to us on earth. The key to all these words of Jesus is a supernatural love with which God meets us, and He calls us to grow in this supernatural love. If it becomes dominant in us, then the words of Jesus open up more and more, and the Holy Spirit enables us to fulfill them in the way that corresponds to the will of God in the concrete situation.
Today we hear the Song of the Beatitudes taken of the Byzantine liturgy in Spanish language.
Acuérdate, Señor, de nosotros cuando llegues a tu reino.
Beatos los pobres de espíritu, porque de ellos es el reino de los cielos.
Beatos los mansos, porque ellos heredarán la tierra.
Beatos los que lloran, porque ellos serán consolados.
Beatos los hambrientos y sedientos de justicia, porque ellos serán saciados.
Beatos los misericordiosos, porque ellos alcanzarán misericordia.
Beatos los limpios de corazón, porque ellos verán a Dios.
Beatos los que trabajan por la paz, porque ellos serán llamados hijos de Dios.
Beatos los perseguidos por causa de la justicia, porque de ellos es el reino de los cielos.
Beatos cuando os ultrajen y persigan, y mintiendo digan toda clase de mal contra vosotros por mi causa.
Alegraos y regocijaos, porque grande será vuestra recompensa en los cielos.